Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 24, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter June 24, 2020. We look at the world through ego reason. The Creator deliberately created us in egoism. In faith above reason, we elevate ourselves to the degree of bestowal, bina, entering the Creator's vision. His world, his sensation of reality. Faith above reason allows us to see reality the way the Creator sees it. Faith above reason is not self-deception or fantasy, but it transfers us to the world of truth. We see ourselves in the Creator's world, we see everything through his eyes, the quality of bina, bestowal, the quality of the Creator, the world of truth, undistorted by our egoism. Blows and suffering will eventually persuade us that it is necessary to detach from our egoism. But there is another, more successful path. After all, we are egoists, unable to go against our egoism, meaning against ourselves. We can therefore draw a force from above, the light that reforms. The light will separate us from egoism, purify and correct us. Blows and suffering will eventually persuade us that it is necessary to detach from our egoism. But there is another, more successful path. After all, we are egoists, unable to go against our egoism, meaning against ourselves. We can therefore draw a force from above. After correcting egoism, by means of restriction, the screen, reflected light, rising to the degree of bestowal, faith above reason, bestowal above reception, one merits seeing and feeling the actual reality, created by the Creator, as it is felt by the Creator. Faith above reason is not self-deception or fantasy, but it transfers us to the world of truth. We see ourselves in the Creator's world, we see everything through his eyes, the quality of bina, bestowal, the quality of the Creator. When we penetrate inside this quality, in relation to us it is faith. Above our reason egoism. Faith above reason allows us to see reality the way the Creator sees it, instead of through our egoistic reason. The Creator deliberately created us in egoism, within which we perceive ourselves and the world. But in faith above reason, we elevate ourselves to the degree of bestowal, bina, entering the reality of the Creator, his world. The director of the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Robert Redfield, said that COVID has brought this nation to its knees, adding that spending on the COVID-19 crisis would probably top $7 billion. My comment, all this instead of simply starting to live in a new way, retaining only the necessities. Rise above the old values. Question, in the times before the virus, the main values of a person were family, earning money, maybe having a small business, not to mention a large one, etc. And now, when people are slowly beginning to come out of self-isolation, it is unclear what to do. Many businesses will not recover, there will be no tourism, planes aren't flying. How can a person live? By what values will the world exist after the crisis? Answer, I think that a person, on the contrary, will have real values. All the flights around the planet, running around on sales and other unnecessary activities for which you only work, earn pennies, and spend, while someone else is profiting from you, making billions, and in general doing nothing with it, all this will come to some kind of averaging. If not completely, then at least it will fall to some normal level, deflate, as they say. Therefore, a person, first of all, will look for values in their life. Will ask what you live for and try to find the answer, which is already valuable. I believe we are on the right track. Then it all depends on people so as not to succumb to deception and some promotions, which they are spurred on by fools and the nouveau riche who do not see any value in life except adding another billion to their bank account, and then another billion. I hope that people will start looking for something higher. And high values are not inside our life, but above it. What is there to look for in it, if it ends? Moreover, we see there is no happiness in life. We need something different, more powerful, eternal, and perfect. To the extent that a person can grasp the whole of this life and what is beyond it, he must give an answer to the question, what is this life for? If we would care only for our physical existence, like animals who see nothing more, then we would provide for ourselves instinctively and would be satisfied with it. That would be enough. But if we look a little higher, without wanting to lock ourselves in the narrow confines of our world from birth to death and no more, then we need to answer the question, what is life itself given for? Where is the answer to quench the thirst of searching for the meaning of existence? Nature doesn't do anything for nothing. And if the question of non-biological existence arises in us, in our biological life, then we can and must find the answer to it. There are people in whom this appears as an urgent demand, and there are those who still have to develop until they ask this question. They cannot push it away from themselves and will have to find an answer to it. It's not easy. But still, the very fact of generating this question, which occurs in us at the call of nature, is a great thing. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 17, 2020. Let's think about what is good for us. Question: what is wrong with traveling around the world and enjoying life? Answer: I do not think this is bad, but I do not consider it an end in itself. Let each of us see what it gave him. I was in dozens of countries in Europe, Asia, North and South America and got a general idea about them. But if a person turns his trips into an end in itself, then these are just excursions that give him nothing. We are talking about how to make our world a correct, safe, and better place for us and our children so that we enjoy every second, breathe clean unpolluted air, eat normal non-pesticide contaminated foods, drink normal, not processed and poisoned water. Let's make the world normal. Then why do we need to work from morning till night while our children hang out in the yard or fool around at home? Why can't we arrange things so that a woman can be at home, or at least partially reduce her working day? I believe that this all has the right to a balanced approach. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 3, 2020. Michael Lehtman, on Quora, why is there such chaos in America? Is America's time up? Does it have to go in the same direction as those once powerful nations and empires that reached their demise? While it is clearly headed downward, there is a way to use America's chaotic state as an opportunity to impact a major positive transformation. To start with, America, with its superpower status, has an immense influence on the world. Also, America is home to millions of unique individuals who have made tremendous breakthroughs, overcoming great odds to achieve prosperity. If Americans could tweak the direction of this beating the odds characteristic, renavigating it to overcome social divisions in order to unite the entire American society, then America's greatness would become restored on a whole new level, suited to our interdependent times. In other words, since today's world is defined by tightening interdependence and interconnectedness, then any society that successfully unifies its members above its differences will match their societies with the present interdependent conditions. The positive connection of society's members will increase their balance with the global nature of today's world, and they will thus enjoy safer and happier lives. Moreover, due to the world's interconnectedness, such a society would also receive a positive reaction from other societies, nations and cultures, as its unifying example would inspire people worldwide to follow suit. The more we continue heading into increasingly interdependent times, the more we will feel how our divisive drives bring us nowhere good. Therefore, an America headed to unity above division would ignite a new positive energy into the world. The more that values of mutual consideration and responsibility would spread throughout American society, the more the American people would feel its positive effects, a safe, supportive and happy social landscape, and with the global magnifying glass on America, Its positive influence on American society would be an inspiring, unifying example for the world. If the federal, state and local authorities would cooperatively prioritize mutual consideration and responsibility in American society as a means to unify above its divisions and differences, establishing a payment system for participating in connection-enriching educational programs, as well as media campaigns promoting nationwide unity above division, then America would be on course to resolving its current crisis. A wise America is one that realizes its competitive materialistic values are outdated and out of sync with today's interdependence. Then, by making a fateful emphasis shift to unify its incredibly diverse society, America would reinvigorate its superpower status in the world in a way that is suited to today's new globally interdependent conditions. Michael Lehtman, on Quora: what will happen if the coronavirus comes back in a second wave? If we thought that the pandemic was under control, the time has come to think again. The second wave of the coronavirus is already being widely discussed, even though the first wave never really stopped. The economy's reopening has helped bolster an influx of COVID-19 outbreaks worldwide, and we once again face an uncertain future with regard to the pandemic. I am certain, however, that our world has undergone an irreversible change, and that we would be wise to realize how nature tightens our dependence on each other. As much as we want it to become a thing of the past, the coronavirus is here to stay for a while. We need to come to terms with it being with us for a long time, and we should revise our socio-economic approach accordingly. The World Bank has stated that the pandemic will be responsible for the biggest recession since the Second World War. We can still expect the closure of many businesses, a dramatic rise in unemployment, and as more and more people dig into the depths of their savings accounts, more and more people will face unpayable loans, rents and mortgages. The immense changes we are brought to demand that we make some changes on our own behalf. What should those changes be? To start with, people's essential needs have to be met. Authorities should make sure that their populations receive essential goods and services, adjusting their budgets accordingly. We will also need to get used to luxury goods losing their allure. There will be no need to invest in saving or reviving luxury goods businesses due to their diminished demand. Also, the increased awareness about the ecological harm that many such businesses contribute to further illustrates their non-necessity. Our lives are on track to become calmer and more essentials-focused than we have been used to, and which our prior economy failed to prepare us for. Any desires for surplus, any drives to progress and make breakthroughs in society, should likewise also be refocused. There is endless room for developing positive connections in society, and we would be wise to focus our growth on improving human connections. By doing so, we would be on track to a whole new reality than the one we currently know, one where we experience our tightening interdependence not as a growing burden, but as an opportunity to exercise positive relations and share in a newfound harmony, happiness and confidence throughout society. Likewise, after taking care of people's essential needs, authorities would do well to implement a system of payment-based connection-enriching education, which will secure people's needs via their participation in learning about today's new interdependent conditions, as well as support active endeavors to develop a more positive social atmosphere. Ultimately, the coronavirus is leading us to a much more natural form of existence. By highlighting our interdependence, it forces us to consider how we relate to each other, and we can already conclude that if we try to increase our care for each other, then we will live healthier, safer and happier lives. Social distancing conditions have given us space for introspection, to see that genuine connection lies in our refined attitudes to each other. As our pre-coronavirus socio-economic foundations become increasingly rickety the more we head deeper into coronavirus times, the uncertainty and anxiety about the future can quickly become filled with a renewed confidence in a society of people who have their needs secured, and who grow increasingly positive connections to each other on a daily basis. We can think of the coronavirus like a treadmill that humanity has started walking on, and when we get off of this treadmill, we will have lost a lot of the materialistic competitive fat that was weighing us down before the pandemic. Now more than ever, we need to stay focused on our new stage of growth, that what nourished us in our previous stage no longer works, and to meet our new conditions, we need to develop positive connections to each other. Clear calculation of nature. Question: was it predetermined who should die from the coronavirus or is it random? Answer: there are no coincidences. In nature, there is nothing accidental at all, everything is absolutely determined. There is a clear calculation for everything from within nature, starting from its first atom and even earlier, and ending with its final state, a universal return to a single integral system, to which we have not yet arrived. The whole problem is how we move from the initial state to the final one, either under the influence of nature's blows, such as the coronavirus, or under the influence of our common aspiration, quickly, easily, correctly, and consciously. This is the only difference. In fact, the final state was determined at the beginning, and there is nothing unexpected in it. This is written in Kabbalah. We need to make sure that we recognize this program of nature and in each state we take an active part in all its movements. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 3, 2020. Light emanating from a wise heart. At the time of the Uri, souls underwent a special inner transformation. Our time is also special as Balhasulam wrote that we are living in the era of the Messiah. He talks about the changes that he sees from spiritual attainment. From the Uri onward, a new generation of the end of correction comes to the world and everyone gradually begins approaching and getting involved in this process. A new era begins in both corporeal and spiritual life. These days, a real revolution in the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah is taking place. Kabbalah is open to everyone, it fills the internet and is translated into many different languages. Anyone can start learning and studying the works of the Uri, Balhasulam, and Rabash, the sources are open to everyone. First of all, it is our task to reveal this knowledge to the entire world. And then, the upper light will advance each soul and direct it to its necessary corrections. From the times of the Uri, Kabbalah became the science of the heart and is perceived by students not through theoretical understanding in the mind, but through inner spiritual attainment due to a person's internal change in sensations. This is the main difference of the new period. Thanks to the Baal Shem Tov, this wisdom, which requires a wise heart, began to develop widely. Today, every person who studies the wisdom of Kabbalah spreads the field of the upper light around him and thus makes the advancement toward the purpose of life easier for all of humanity. Kabbalah is the science of all of creation, of all of reality, of a common upper force acting in the universe. This science is gradually being revealed to people and is getting closer to us. It was first revealed 6,000 years ago to the first man named Adam. Over thousands of years, this revelation went through several stages, each with five stages: root, first, second, third, and fourth, the complete Haviah. The first stage is the time of Adam, then the time of Abraham, entering Egypt, the Exodus from Egypt, the building of the first and second temples, and their destruction. After the destruction of the second temple in the time of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon, there comes a period of exile, and darkness sets in until the time of the Uri, for about 1,300 years. After the Uri, a more favorable period for the development of Kabbalah comes, especially due to the work of Baal Shem Tov, who created a mass movement that raised many Kabbalists. However, after it, Kabbalah was hidden again until our days. At the beginning of the 20th century, from the time of Balhasulam, the interest in Kabbalah began to awaken again. Baal-ha-Sulam made a huge contribution to the revelation of this wisdom, then his son Rabash after him, and we continue this work and very much hope that we really live in the days of the Messiah. Rabash was the one who revealed the method of inner work. The Ari mostly spoke about the upper worlds, and Rabash wrote about the love between friends because all the worlds are within a person. The most powerful force that allows us to open the upper worlds is the force of love and connection. Therefore, there was a shattering, and now we have to connect into one soul again. The practical implementation of correction is to connect people into tens by the force of love within which the Creator will be revealed. The wisdom of Kabbalah is the method of revealing the Creator to the created beings in this world, and therefore, it requires practical implementation. Our task is to take this knowledge left to us by the great Kabbalists, adapt it for the general public, and spread it all over the world in order to awaken the desire to get closer to the purpose of creation in everyone. By that, we provide great help to people because we do not leave them helpless in the face of all sorts of viruses that are ready to attack humanity, rather, we sweeten the development. This is absolutely necessary now because look at how radically our lives have changed over the past 3 months, and nature is preparing for us even greater problems ahead. From the 3D part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson June 18, 2020, Writings of Baal-ha-Sulam, Introduction to the Book Pani Mei Rotu Mas Bi Rot. Saving the Planet, Children for, Parents Against. Comment: children in the Netherlands have organized protests several times, following the example of Greta Thunberg, who now is the symbol of the fight for a clean environment, etc. They are skipping school. At that, Dutch parents are very worried because skipping school is not in the rules and culture of this nation. Nevertheless, the image of Greta excites the whole world and young minds. And here is what a Dutch dad came up with. He told his daughter, "Of course, we will prevent the mass destruction and disappearance of the ecosystem. We will give you, my daughter, a bright future and cool the planet by 4 degrees. However, you will ride a bicycle to school. Winter is coming, the bus is running on diesel, this worsens the climate. You will ask for an electric bike, but it has a lithium battery, which is also bad for the climate. To get rid of gas production, we will turn off the heaters in your room. It will be cold. But it is good for the climate. For the same reason, you will be taking a cold shower. You will do your washing yourself now, with cold water and on the washing board. No internet, TV, or other things that use electricity. And at 11 o'clock, we will turn all electricity off everywhere. You will no longer go on vacation with us because you cannot reach the places we travel to on your bicycle. No more meat, poultry, or fish. Only Dutch potatoes, vegetables from the ground, not from the greenhouse. Butter, milk, and eggs are obtained from cows and chickens that emit CO2. This is very bad for the climate. You cannot eat that anymore, either." Such a list of restrictions was presented by a father and it convinced his daughter. She agreed, gave up her protests, started going to school and using the benefits of mankind. My response: all this is wrong. What does it matter what they do? It is all politics and advertising. Question: to what do we need to attract children and adults, to really start radical changes? Answer: only to relationships with each other. There is nothing we can do to change the climate or the balance of nature except by the relationship between people. We can kill all the cows, stop eating meat and milk, do whatever we want, it will not help us. We can go back to the caves, and it will not be any better. Question: will this not lead to the thought that we have done everything, nothing is working? The only thing that remains is to change our relationships? Answer: but this is the path of suffering. This is what the father did by painting the picture for his daughter of everything that she would be facing: no TV, no internet, no computer, no heat, no hot bath, nothing. This is exactly what awaits humanity in the end if we do not create balance in another way, at the next level, at the level of our relationships. It is due to the fact that with our relationships we can change the balance in nature. And if you start trying to prevent the release of CO2 from cows, nothing will happen. Question: why do some people, when they hear the idea of connection, get attracted to it, come to the group, and start studying, and others just do not hear it? Answer: this depends on the person's inner development. I also did not hear it, ignored it, and did not get attracted to it at all. I laughed at it inwardly. What is this coming together of people with each other? What is this pretty kindergarten game? Question: and how does this click happen when a person suddenly awakens? Answer: when a person begins to treat nature correctly, to see it globally in the fact that it is a closed system and that without the correct participation of all of us at the same time, we will not succeed. We will lead to such an imbalance of the entire system of nature that we will simply not be able to continue to exist on Mother Earth. Question: how can humanity, which is busy with its own problems and runs around like a hamster on a wheel, stop and feel this pulsating push? Answer: nature will stop us if we do not stop ourselves. There will be such disturbances of nature, against which we can do nothing. The Gulf Stream will freeze, volcanoes will wake up, and so on. And nothing can be done about it. Also, this little coronavirus that will surface later. Just wait, all kinds of viruses will be defrosted. This is a terrible thing. We are in a state where the Earth has already left its previous balance and is moving to no one knows where. Question: when will the inner urge in a person to harmony, to balance, take over everything else that occupies him? Answer: when he realizes that he is facing death, on the one hand, and it will not save him from anything. After all, life continues beyond the threshold of this animalistic death. Moreover, in more terrible suffering, in the recognition of evil in such a form that death is salvation. Question: what will he see beyond this border of animalistic death or the border of the crisis that is now taking place, if he is engaged in this inner urge? Kabbalah. Answer: he will see the upper harmony of nature, and how he fits into it correctly and exists forever in perfection. And this world disappears. It will melt away like a fog. It just dissolves along with all its problems. From Cab TV's News with Michael Leitman, February 4, 2020. Let's rebuild. Question: what depends on everyone who listens to you? What can a particular person do? Answer: the science of Kabbalah speaks about society, about how we are structured and how we can change ourselves. And then it is up to you. Do you have any impressions of your past? Let's make it to a better state than before the coronavirus. That is all that I am talking about. Speeches are occasionally made for a good climate, for correcting society, for limiting human intervention in nature. Let's really try to do it. Now we are leaving our homes. Let's go back to a better society, a healthier atmosphere. I urge only this, and then decide for yourself. Just do not forget how we lived during self-isolation. We cleaned the atmosphere, the ozone layer, water and so on. And what will we do next? We need to be restructured a bit. I am only talking about this. The virus will come to us again. It will be a different modification, no matter what, but it will not leave us. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 3, 2020. A person's duty. Question: is the reason for all our problems, from natural disasters to the coronavirus, the lack of balance in human society between the desire to receive from society and the desire to give? Answer: yes. Human society violates itself and everything around it. If we really were in balance with each other, corrected, not selfish, if we balanced egoism with connection and love, we would see how all of nature would follow us. Question: to balance these two tendencies in man is a whole science. Is this within man's power? Answer: this is a person's duty. One must reveal all the laws of his and the surrounding nature and bring all this to an absolute, integral, full interaction. This is man's task, not only here and now, but in general, a cosmic task. From the TV program The Post-Coronavirus Era, April 16, 2020. The powerlessness of governments and the passivity of society. Question: before, almost the entire southern part of Italy survived thanks to tourism. If there is unemployment, how will people feed their families? Answer: I understand that now many professions, positions, enterprises, and businesses will not be able to return to their previous state. The fact is that it is necessary to enact an absolutely clear state program. This should not just be help in the form of a handout, but a deliberate involvement of the whole society in solving this problem. It is solved by reducing the workforce that is not necessary. At least for now. It is better to send people home and give them a minimum normal income. We must understand how to create a new society. To do this, you need to constantly conduct conversations, discussions, but not like they are conducted now on television, where various government officials are invited and they grind what they need. It is necessary to invite specialists, scientists, but not all kinds of public figures who dream of becoming prime ministers. And then we will be enlightened and see to what state we really should come. It will shine for us more and more, and I see it. Question: you say that only state systems can solve employment problems. If this is so, then what is the point of the Kabbalist tackling the theme of the coronavirus instead of spiritual development? Answer: I am not saying that states can solve this problem. This is a problem for society and manufacturers. Society must decide what it needs and what it does not need anymore, and take on the functions that the state has taken away from it in order to manage everything. The fact is that such laws of competition reign in governments that they are not able to solve these problems. I do not blame them, because human nature has driven us into such a state. By no means do I believe that this should be left to the governments. Maybe they can do something, at least for now, if society protests against them by organizing demonstrations and protest marches. Indeed, many firms and enterprises will not be able to return to their normal activities. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 3, 2020. Doubts emerge. Question: now the quarantine has been relaxed, people have taken to the streets, restaurants, hairdressers, and shops in continuous consumption. Everything is the same as before, nothing has changed. So, why was the virus needed? Answer: I think we cannot change in the first time around. But nevertheless, we started to doubt whether we might have been living incorrectly. Everything is revealed by comparison. But the first time around, it is unlikely that we will be able to draw conclusions. Moreover, we have not yet returned to the past and analyzed what happened. We take our sitting at home as an incarceration, imprisonment. And now, we will go back to work and gradually see that going back to the practices of consumption will manifest in us as negative. Then we will know what to do. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 3, 2020. Turn to logic. Question: how do we correctly unite between us? By appealing to feelings, thoughts, or logic? Answer: it is best to turn to logic when a person knows why he should unite, that unity is a law of nature, and thus it leads one to a correct path with the whole universe, with a common integral system called the Creator. When a person realizes this, the task of one's existence becomes revealing this system in order to integrally find oneself in it. from Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 19, 2020. A single source of fears. Question. It is said that fear arises from ignorance. Are they just an irritant to come to spiritual desires? Answer, no. There are several types of fear. In the introduction of the Zohar, items 169 to 188, three types of fear and trepidation are examined in the commandments of the Torah, the first commandment. I recommend you read it. Question. How can a strong material fear serve as a springboard for my spiritual leap to the root of my soul? Answer, in fact, there is no difference between material fear and spiritual fear. This all comes from the Creator, and therefore affects a person on all levels. This effect can pass through your family, relatives, children, your animal body, etc. Question, why does a person freeze when feeling intense fear? Answer, fear paralyzes. It does not allow you to move and does not allow you to act. After all, acting means making some decisions, doing something. And a man who is afraid can do nothing. Fear against all actions. Question. If fear is so necessary for revealing the Creator, why do we need security? Answer. In order for us to feel the need to overcome our fears. Question. How does one correct the deafening fear of disappointing the Creator into trembling before Him? Answer, this is corrected in the group. With the correct study of Kabbalah, such problems do not arise. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 26, 2020. How to find one's soul? Question. The Netherlands has a museum of the human body. It is created so realistically that it takes the visitor's breath away. Inside the museum, there is actually a whole city comprised of different parts of the body that you can wander through. The visitors feel like they are tiny and moving through the corridors of an artificial human giant while watching how the blood circulates, how the digestive tract works, and the giant heart beats. How the auditory and muscular systems, vocal cords, bones, and teeth work. All this can be studied in detail and seen in action. While traveling through the body, visitors can clearly see how harmful habits negatively affect the work of organs and systems. What transformations occur inside a person when he becomes acquainted with the world around him and the system of connections in it? Does it somehow change his inner attitude to the world? To himself? Answer, it can change, of course. Question, why does this impression, this inspiration, not act in a person for the long term, so that at every moment of time he would remember the system of connections? Answer, does he enjoy it or not? If he does not enjoy it, he forgets immediately. If he enjoys it, it remains to the extent that it is pleasant to him. Question. Is it possible to make the same simulation, the same museum of relationships between people? Can we create such a model? Answer. It can be an imaginary one, but it will not teach a person anything because it is against human nature. All this will be unpleasant for him. He will be happy to see such a beautiful picture, but not to participate in it against his egoistic nature. Question. But if everyone treats him well, does everything for his benefit, does he not get involved in this game? Answer. It will occupy him for some short period of time, like going to a movie. Question. And what does it take for a person to want not only to get involved in this game, but also to change himself so that this becomes his? Answer. To do this, he must, of course, already acquire significant life sufferings. How else will he want this? After all is against our nature. Question. When a person suffers, he always wants to run away, that's the easiest thing. And here he has a choice to acquire something else. How does the tipping point of choice happen, when he no longer wants to run away, but wants to choose a new path? Answer. When there is no other way. When he has to find the meaning of life, otherwise life is worth nothing. I just do not want anything other than the meaning of life. Why do I need all this? Why do I exist? Why was I born? If it bothers him very much, only to the extent of this concern, to the extent of this suffering, will he be able to change? Question: walking through the corridors of such a museum, which are also being created in Toronto and New York, will a person have no thoughts about the meaning of life if he is suffering? Answer: absolutely not. This is about physiology, not about the inner world of a person. About his innards, but not about his inner world. Question: where does the question about the meaning of life arise? Answer: it is not inside a person. Not in the heart, not in the mind. It is in the soul. And the soul is not inside a person. It is next to him. Question: how does the awakening of this question happen within a person? Answer: the soul makes such a suggestion to the brain of a person that he begins to think about it. Question: what is the soul? Answer: the soul is the question about the meaning of life. For now. Later it will develop from this question. Question: and what will it become? Answer: it will become a capacity, in which one will begin attaining the meaning of life. The desire to attain the meaning of life is called the soul, the initial state of the soul. Then this desire begins to fill with all kinds of spiritual attainments, spiritual, about the meaning of life. And thus, it develops. A person begins to ask more intelligent questions, more eternal, more elevated, and receives answers to them. This is the development of the soul. Comment: the attainment of the meaning of life is different for everyone. My response: and we cannot compare. How can I pull out my soul and place it in you so that you could compare to souls there? Question: a person has a growing desire for the meaning of life. This is what we call the soul. Everyone has their own desire, which is not like the others. Then what happens to these desires? Do they connect with each other? Answer: they do not connect. Why would they connect? Comment: they say that there is one big soul for everyone. My response: this connection is different when we have one common goal. When we need to achieve one common goal, the souls connect in order to reach the common goal. But they connect with each other through opposition. Question: why do they oppose each other? Answer: in order not to annul themselves. And once they connect, we have one common whole consisting of many parts. Question: how do they connect? Answer: through the qualities of bestowal and love. Question: and what do these connected desires discover about the meaning of life? Answer: they discover the interaction with each other above common egoism. Question: is there some kind of single definition of this interaction between them above the qualities? Answer: it is the common soul, Adam. The common network of connections is called Adam from the words similar to the Creator. Question: do people, by building all these systems of connections, subconsciously want to reach the upper network of connections? Answer: yes. The soul is yearning for this. From CabTV's News with Michael Leitman, March 3, 2020. Why do fears overwhelm us? Question: how can we use the sense of fear in a productive way? Answer: Kabbalah explains that the main concern of a person should be to put himself against the Creator, because everything that happens to us, in us, and around us comes from the Creator. If I try to feel that I am in connection with the Creator all the time, and not in a direct two-way connection I, to him and he, to me, but in the feeling that he acts on me and everything that comes to me every moment in feelings, in the mind, in thoughts, and in memory, comes from him, then I will position myself more or less correctly. The question arises: if I am in a state where I am all in the Creator, is there any place for fear, anxiety, and expectation of something bad? Therefore, the problem is not that I am in fear, but that the Creator is concealed from me. If the Creator were open to me, I would feel that I am in him, in good, eternal, perfect, unique, governing, organizing, and defining the whole world. If I felt like that, then I would have no fears, no worries, and no doubts. Therefore, the whole problem lies in the concealment of the Creator, which is the cause of all our troubles, and vice versa, His disclosure is the source of all our joys. Question: why did the Creator create such motivation as fear? Answer: in order for us to draw Him to ourselves all the time, to try to reveal Him. Question: how do we interact with fear of the Creator? Answer: we turn to Him and work with Him in order to remove this fear. If the Creator manifests Himself, then fear disappears. Even if we simply come closer to Him, and remember that everything is from Him, then fear already disappears. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 26, 2020. From Animate to Human Society. Question: you say that nature is an integral system and that everything in it is built on love. But we know from history that everything in nature is built on competition, survival, and suppression of one's neighbor. How would you comment on this? Answer: it is very simple. Each of us consists of two parts, animate and human, in one form. In the animate form, we submit to the general evolutionary development and nothing can be done about it. And the human in us should be above competition, only in mutual assistance. Kabbalah teaches how to create a human society from us animals. This is the only way we can survive. Otherwise, we will simply disappear, even as animals. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 12, 2020. New Life 1204. Trust.
Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzamazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about trust, or more precisely, the trust crisis. We live our life, and around us there are different people. There are those that are very close to us, those that we barely know, but one way or another, trust is becoming kind of shaky in our relationships. And we'd like to find out how can we rebuild trust between people. Be with us, Nitza, please. Now, trust is a very basic inclination in a person. From the moment that a baby's born, he has to trust the people around him, to take care of him, and so on. Without trust, you can't build relationships, you can't build cooperation, there's no one to trust. And really, it's something very basic for people. Maybe also for animals, but maybe we'll talk about this a bit later. But first of all, we'd like to understand. First of all, how does it work? Nature has created in man this inner inclination for him to have this basic trust in others. Why? Why do we have this natural inclination to trust others? Unless we get hurt somewhere along the way and then we become suspicious and so on, but naturally we have this inclination to trust the people around us. Because we have no choice. Because there's no choice, not because we have a desire for it. No, even a baby doesn't trust anyone. He just wants to be cleaved to his mom and doesn't want to know anyone besides her. Now, to the measure to which later he gets to know his environment, his crib, his room, maybe the backyard, and then to that measure, he as if starts trusting them, but it's to the measure to which he is acquainted with everything that surrounds him. To those that are closer, he comes to them, he sits in their lap, and he doesn't go to others, and so on. Meaning, trust is something that we have to acquire. And then to the measure to which We get to know our environment, the world, those that are closer, those that are further away. To that measure, we have trust in them. It's like an animal. You take some animal home, cat, dog, something, then already there starts to be some kind of trust between us. That maybe you can't raise a lion at home, but animals that have developed throughout evolution trust in people, and people develop trust in them, then we can take the offsprings of these animals, and there's trust between us. So trust is a kind of a process that a person, by getting to know his environment and people and so on, he predicts their actions, the way that they will behave, and as a result, he develops a relationship of trust. I know that this person behaves this and that way, and I can trust them. Meaning, there is no trust, like we usually think, that I trust in you, or I trust you. But there has to be some kind of acquaintance. Otherwise, there is a crisis. So, from here we understand that a person learns how to trust his environment because he has no choice, on the one hand. On the other hand, out of experience, the experience accumulates. Yeah, but just so, something that I don't know, someone that I'm not familiar with, what trust? In front of me, suddenly, there's a dinosaur. Do I trust it? No, I have no idea how will it behave. That's the problem. Meaning, based on experience. So, now let's see. How does trust, the trust that a person puts in his environment, how does it help him develop? We can't live without trust. Why? Because, suppose, trust is something that animals don't have. There is no such thing there. There you have the offsprings with their parents that are connected for a short period of time. Afterwards, they part after a year or two, and that's it. There's no further connection between them, so much so that if they meet later, I don't know what kind of emotions do they have when they meet. But from what I understand, it's completely erased from them. Nature erases the entire connection, and then there's no trust. Trust means that I am internally connected with someone. We have a mutual relationship, and we see our connection as a natural connection, even though that it doesn't happen naturally like between a mother and her child. But that's how we feel, for example, in other cases, and therefore we have trust. When is there trust? When you get married, when you live together, meaning when you have some special common engagements, meaning when there is something that ties us together. Based on that, you build trust. Otherwise, trust is just a word. No one believes anyone, just so. Or I can say, I trust in him 100%. Why? Because I know that he owes me so much, and all of his money is in my account, so I believe him. I trust him. It's good for him to be trustworthy. So, I don't know what to tie trust with. But there's also another thing, and it's also based on gain and loss, that we have a goal, and the goal is very important. The goal is truly great, suppose, spiritual. That's very important, more important than life. That I got my entire life in order to reach that goal. And then, in order to reach that goal, I have to have a special kind of connection with a few more people, a group. And then, I develop trust in them. That just like I want to reach the goal, meaning to connect to some state, ideal, the same way I have to connect to them. And if I do not connect to them, I won't be able to attain the goal, because it's actually one and the same, to connect to people or to connect to the goal. And then I develop faith in them, meaning I believe in them, I trust them. Not because I expect some kind of response from them, but because by trusting them, by putting my trust in them, I reach a special goal. So it doesn't even really matter how they treat me, and I'm not expecting any kind of response from them. But the main thing is that I pass on to them my trust. And then I don't check how much I get from them in return, but I all the time examine myself. To what measure do I want to all the time bestow my trust onto them? You just described a mechanism that is kind of the opposite to what we're familiar with. Yeah, it's the opposite. Usually trust, it's a very mutual system. These are mutual relations. I trust you, you trust me. We have to prove it to each other that we're worthy of this trust. It's all the time give and take. Now you've described a different mechanism that you put your trust in that group of people that want to achieve the same goal as you do. And by giving your trust to that group, you're already what? Covered. By them, I reach the goal. That's important to me. So those people as if connect me with the goal. How does it happen? How? By trusting them, and they don't give me anything back, suppose. They don't have to give you anything back. To the contrary, maybe every time they actually show me that it's not in their intention at all to trust me in any way. But I accept it as a good response. Why? Because it awakens me, pushes me to trust them even more. So what's the difference between a state where I trust someone in life and he breaches my trust and I no longer trust him, and that's that, and that group of people that I trust them, I put my trust in them, and they don't trust me back, or I don't feel it, and I keep strengthening my trust in them? What's happening here? By that, I come out of my limitedness. And that independent of everyone and everything. For me, this group is only as an exercise, as a factor by which I develop what we call faith. It's no longer trust, but it's faith that I'm willing to bestow and arrange and give them everything that they need in order to develop the quality of bestowal by them. The quality of what? Of bestowal. Which is what? The quality of bestowal means that I trust them in everything that they want from me. And then you merit faith, and then I merit faith. So what advantage does faith have over trust? Trust is something very small and limited. Faith, it means that I'm willing to bestow to them in whatever they want, because I want to be adhered to them. Why? And what does it mean to be adhered? Adhered meaning that I want to be in them, like a baby and his mother. Only a baby wants to be adhered to his mother in all of his corporeal senses, like a little animal. We also see it on animals. Whereas, in our case, when I want to be adhered to them, by this adhesion, I acquire what they have. Intellect, emotion, attainments, habits, everything that they have. I acquire it by that. Why? Because I permeate them. I'm included in them. I'm willing to give everything in order to draw what they have. Previously said that in trust, it's a relationship of interdependence, and in faith, I'm relieved that this kind of relationship would happen. In normal trust, I have to believe. Maybe he's cheating me, but I have to believe. Meaning I overcome my desire, my uncertainty, my lack of faith in them. And the trust that we're talking about, faith that we're talking about in a group, then he chooses that group, he wants to, in order to integrate in them, become included and immersed in them, and that's all that he wants. He doesn't demand anything else. But only in order to acquire their qualities, and when he reaches their qualities, then he merits that which exists in them. So this entire process that we just talked about, it's a kind of personal process of a person's development where he is aided by the people around him consciously in order to acquire different things that they have. And then the relationship is no longer a relationship of trust like in business or something. But there is some kind of expansion of the individual where he expands his boundaries and includes all that exists in the other people. Yeah, the entire group is in him. Okay, up until now we talked about positive things like trust, faith, growth, and so on. But nowadays, the frequency which is true to the relations between people, between a particular person in society and the country that he lives in, the general frequency is distrust. From year to year, it's worsening. You can't believe in one mechanism or another. What happened to society that we start breaching trust more and more? And from year to year, you have more corruption and the breaching of trust. And what's going on? We have no trust. We just called what we had trust. We had nothing. But you can't compare the measure of trust that people have today and what they had 10 or 50 years ago. Today it seems as though... Yesterday I met this person, an elder person. He's over 80. And he does speed walking, and he says, I met this young lady while I was speed walking, and she started talking to me, and she was nice and everything. I don't even remember what did we talk about. And he invited her for a cup of coffee. You know, he told me about it as something that happened by the way. And what am I telling him? I'm telling him, you brought in a stranger into your house? Are you crazy? Meaning, from generation to generation, our way of thinking is very different. Today's society is a society in which there's lots of crime and corruption, and you don't really know. You remember, in the past, people used to write checks. Today, no one takes checks. There's no trust. Where did it go? The trust that we had. This is the society that you've built, mister. What happened to it? What brought to these results? Because our will to receive is constantly growing. Our ego is constantly growing. If in the past I could have been your friend, then today I look at you only through the eyes of how can I gain off of you. If in the past I could have had some friendly relationship with Nitsa, today I look at her through the eyes of how can I use her? And I'm not to blame for it. Why not? Because my ego, it grew. What can I do? Inside of me, there's some kind of animal that's growing, that's demanding me to exploit everything around me. Whether it's a man or a woman, and in different ways, by profession, by sex, by status, That's how it is. So what can I do? I even look at you, how you were 10 or 20 years ago, and today I see how I look at you in a more practical way to the measure to which I can use you. So, those that breach the trust, what makes us breach the trust is the ego that's constantly looking for ways of how to benefit itself. But more and more, it was always that way, but it was never that bad. Nowadays, it's from young age. Now, this situation, when I think about it, it's a human tragedy. It depends on how you use this desire that's growing in us, the ego that's thriving in us. So, on the one hand, it could be a horrific crisis because a person is all the time in relationships with people. Without that, he'll simply fall apart. So you're saying, true, on the one hand, a very strong crisis. On the other hand, we can use it correctly. And if you don't, society falls apart. And you see what's going on. Thank God everyone has their own mobile, and they're disconnected from others, and somehow they're connected. But soon it'll end, I'm telling you. Soon no one will want to be connected to anyone else. The desire for it will disappear. Because it's left from that state where we were connected on the human level. Meaning not even virtual connection. No, nothing. There's nothing in it for me. So, you said that there's also a way to use this mistrust differently, to use the trust crisis. What does it mean to use this force that breaches the trust differently? I don't understand. You said that the force that makes it so that there's this animal that grows in every person demanding of him to exploit everyone and everything, and as a result there's this general trust crisis. You said that it's also possible to use it in some other way. You said that there's a way to use this outbursting force. Of course. How? You have to correct it. There are artificial actions that society has to undergo. What does it mean to correct it? What exactly do you have to correct? The connection between people, that's all there is. To show everyone that this way we are coming to the collapse, the freezing of all of our relationships. That then we as if go back to that same primitive family that we had when we lived a million years ago in the jungles, where a few relatives lived together and fight against the rest of the families. That those lived on that hill, and these lived on that hill, behind those trees, and that's how we lived. This is what we're going to do. Only not behind a hill or trees, but next door, and in the next building, and so on. This is how we're going to live. Very frightening. But this is what's happening. You see how kids are moving away from each other. So why are you so optimistic saying that we can correct the situation? Because I understand that nature has a plan. What plan? To actually bring us to connection. Up to the point of love. You see how it sounds. It sounds like the complete opposite. In a trust crisis, you don't want to even hear about the other side. So this is what we have to come to. So the social trust crisis that we're experiencing today, it's in order for us to discover the truth about our relationships, about our true relationships, how they really are, about the crimes. And then love covers all crimes. Afterwards, we'll come to the recognition of evil that we can't continue this way, but we freeze society, all of our relations, that we have very bad relationships, that we can't trust anyone. And then our entire society goes into freeze. It's like you put something in the freezer. And there, all of us, it feels like everything's stuck, all of our systems. And then you have to warm it up with love. How do you do that? How, from the lowest state of a general trust crisis, do you... First of all, this is what you have to come to. So, unfortunately, this is what we're coming to. I want the optimistic side of it. I doubt it. So you're saying that things are going to get worse. The trust crisis is going to grow. I open the fridge and I say, "Dear, what's with the milk?" So my wife says, "What milk? They don't want to sell us any milk." "And what about meat?" "They want to kill you instead of killing an animal. What do you want?" That's how it is in relation to food. "And what about the children? Why don't they go out?" "It's forbidden for them to go out. The other kids are sitting at home too. They can't go outside because they beat each other up." And so on and so forth. "What about electricity, water, everything?" Everyone simply completely disregards everyone else in the crudest way. And this brings a crisis upon us, because one way or another, our life is built in such a way where everyone owes someone something, that you can't break it down into money every time. And if we come to that, then it's total freeze, the true ice age. So, now we have 2.5 minutes left. Something optimistic. After the total freeze, how will we be able to heat things up, build trust on a different level? Only through the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah. That will give us what? It'll teach us how to come closer to each other, how to warm each other up with love. So what does that actually mean, when there's distrust? How do you start coming closer? Because you have no choice. You explain to those people that already feel that way, that are already helpless, that this is what nature is doing to us on purpose, that it's a part of our evolutional development, that it's the ego that is bringing us to these states, that it's truly a period of death, where we're all becoming like some iceberg. And here we have to activate our relations artificially to start coming closer to each other in small groups, up to the point where we will start seeing that these things can exist only this way, that life demands like in one body, where there is mutual work between all the parts of the body, heart, lungs, brain, kidneys, everything, all the systems of the body. No system needs anything besides the other systems. How do they exist in their connection? How? Because there's a system that ties all of this together, a system called life. So we have to draw a force called the force of bestowal that will make a connection between us like there is between the parts of the human body, so that each of us will be like a part of the human system. What kind of force is that? The force of bestowal. That's what? That I give you, and you give me, and everyone gives everyone. No one can live by themselves, inside themselves, but only by nourishing off others. Where will we bring this force of bestowal into our relationships from? It exists. It's only dormant. We have to demand it. We have to derive it from the depth of nature. This is what's frozen? Yes. So how do I take it out of the freezer? It'll awaken by itself, because there's no choice. You have a protective force that you want to live, right? Yeah, and you'll want for this force to awaken. Due to the complete trust crisis, yeah, you see, up ahead there's death. You're gradually freezing, freezing, freezing. You're becoming ice. And you have nothing. Then you're willing to get to know those feelings of warmth and love. You froze me, really. Give something that will warm us up about trust. exactly from this feeling. You're afraid of cold. I know you don't like cold. From this feeling, you'll want to reach warmth. You'll want to come to love, and then you'll really look at others and how much do they want or don't want, and you will give them from your desire to warm yourselves together. That's called to cover yourselves with a wind blanket. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Unfortunately, our time's up again. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
My new article on LinkedIn: how practical is mutual responsibility? Not long ago, a comment on one of my posts stated that adapting society to the harmonious and integral nature we live in is impractical. At the moment, it is indeed impractical, since people see no reason to be harmonious with others. For as long as we can, our self-centered nature will try to maintain its self-centered mindset. But reality has changed. And the sooner we realize it, the better for all of us. The virus will force us to think about each other. Each of us can transmit it to everyone around us. Even if we aren't sick, it doesn't mean we're not carriers, and therefore should be careful not to transmit it to others. In this way, the virus is teaching us to think about each other, to be considerate, even if not of our own volition or affection to others. Since the virus isn't going away in the foreseeable future, we will have to adopt the approach of mutual responsibility. Inadvertently, we will find ourselves in a society that abides by different rules, rules of a harmonious, integral society. We will simply have no choice, our lives will depend on it. It may be a few months or a few years from now, but a society of mutual responsibility and solidarity will not only be practical and realistic, it will be the only option for humanity, since it will be the only way to deal successfully with COVID-19 or with all the crises down the road. Medium published my new article, Surfing the Pandemic Waves. Public discourse now speaks of a second wave of COVID-19 when the first one is far from over. Just when we thought the epidemic was under control, the opening of the economy has brought new contagion outbreaks around the world. What does this portend for the future? We may try to avoid flip-flopping policies on how to tackle the pandemic and its consequences, but the truth is that now we only see the tip of the iceberg of what lies in store. What we do know for certain is that our way of life will change forever. The most important thing for us to understand is that nature is driving us to new forms of connection among us, since we all influence and depend on one another, just as the waves of coronavirus infection illustrate. The more we unite through the heart and soul, and the more we understand nature's guidance today, our anxiety about the future will decrease. Our consciousness will be enlarged, and we will begin to discover a higher dimension which nurtures us so wisely, the force of nature. This is a force whose signature characteristic is love and pure giving. The coronavirus will not quickly disappear from among us. It may remain for years, though it may change its form. This is why it is imperative that we shape society and the economy in accord with the emerging reality. Experts warn that within a few months we will be in the deepest recession since we. Businesses will collapse, people's savings will run dry, and they will be unable to return loans, pay off mortgages, or pay rent. The unequivocal signs are already here. Therefore, we need to revolutionize our priorities. Countries must invest their resources in the vital industries that can ensure that every person's basic needs are met at a reasonable level. Public budgets should secure funds for this first and foremost on the list of priorities and not squander resources in other areas because of pressure from once powerful stakeholders. Luxury industries will certainly suffer a severe blow due to the economic crisis. It would be pointless to attempt to recuperate them because their products will have very little demand. Thought must precede action. Tomorrow's humanity will need a much calmer lifestyle, free from senseless running back and forth, one centered around the essentials instead of the superfluous. People will need to invest primarily in building deep ties among them to discover in them the taste of life. Our good future lies in research and development of connections and love among all people, and this enterprise will be our exit to a new world. Until we reach these desired human connection, we must cleanse ourselves of non-vital businesses which only increase the destructive competition among people, suck out precious resources from nature, and pollute the air, earth, and sea. The era of coronavirus is peeling away the non-vital husks of an outdated way of life in an intelligent manner. Gradually, it will slim the economy to healthy and sustainable dimensions and the non-essential fat will fall away. Governments will have to think outside the box in order to provide employment and livelihood to the millions who will be ejected from the labor market. The best solution will be to provide the citizens with universal income conditional upon active participation in social education and community building. This escape route through education will offer a gateway to a new understanding in humanity about the changes taking place in this special era and what they mean in the development of man, society, and the world, as well as the kind of new relationships that must be established among people. Those who study will also work a few hours in areas which build community and society. The happiest and healthiest possible life evolves out of caring for others. Just like a mother who is always concerned about her children and finds an incomparable sense of satisfaction and vitality in providing this care. Although seemingly contradictory to the notions of social distancing, the era of Corona is actually here to teach us how to correctly approach each other, the true form of connection at the internal level from heart to heart, and how to avoid hurting each other. The more we unite through the heart and soul, and the more we understand nature's guidance today, our anxiety about the future will decrease. Our consciousness will be enlarged and we will begin to discover a higher dimension which nurtures us so wisely, the force of nature. This is a force whose signature characteristic is love and pure giving. Therefore, the coronavirus is not just an epidemic meant to frustrate and destroy, but an evolutionary riddle for us to solve together. Our success will depend on our unity, not only to ride the wave of the pandemic, but to reach the crest of the wave for a healthy and secure future. My new article on LinkedIn: Fight the Right War. We like to think that we are masters of our own lives, but are we really? If we had our way, would we have asked for the coronavirus to derail our lives from their carefully planned routes? Would we have wanted the mayhem that has engulfed cities across the country following the death of George Floyd? If we had any control over our lives, would we have chosen to live in a country where law and order have become a mockery while anarchists on either side of the map do as they please, while the regular Janes and Joes are fearful stepping out and speaking out their sent truth? Right now in America, 130 people die of prescription drug abuse each day, 50 million don't get enough food, and tens of millions have no jobs, no income, and no future. Any person who were asked whether he or she wanted to live in such a country would respond with a resounding no. Sure, many people have it going for them in America. Some are actually living the American dream. But many are not. And many more are joining them daily. But if we stop for a moment and think, we will see that there is one clear message, if you can call it that, in all this pain: this society is really dying because of loneliness. Its disease is not COVID-19, it is alienation, division, suspicion, and separation, or in a word, hatred. Cure hatred, and you have cured the country. If people stopped fighting against each other and started fighting for love, that love would bridge the gaps, there would not be divisions. It is so easy to see the good in different people when you love them. Different people are what makes our society diverse, vital, rich with culture, colors, and brilliant innovations. But if there is hate, then the more different another person is from me, the more I hate that person, and the blinder I become to his or her merits. Think about it, if we fight against injustice, we are increasing hate. But if we fight for love, we are increasing justice. Let's join a common battle against the right enemy, let's fight together against the hatred within us toward our fellow human beings, whoever they are.